in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Pina Vedra.
This half hour of the I Work Frame radio broadcast is brought to you by Nepsis. When you invest with clarity, you have better wealth and a better life. Clarity is the single largest challenge keeping investors from achieving more. Visit Nepsis online, nepsiscapital.com.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord.
What if God has more for you at your 9-to-5?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim, who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work for Him. Join the I Work for Him Nation at iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. And now your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work for Him Nation and cities around the United States, you've tuned into the fastest 1 hour in Christian talk radio. Hey, welcome to I Work for Him this afternoon as we are celebrating Christmas week. We're so excited that we're celebrating Christmas week right here with Tony Dale, right from his headquarters in Austin, Texas. So grateful to be here. But Martha, before we get started with our show today with Tony Dale, why don't you tell people a little bit about how they can end their year helping out I Work for Him?
That's right, Jim. As the end of the year approaches, we know a lot of people are trying to make some last minute decisions about their giving for 2018. And we just want to encourage people that if they feel like I Work for Him is something that they align with, want to see it expand, more people to hear the message of that their work matters to God and that they are a minister in the kingdom, that they can go to our website, iworkforhim.com, and there we have a donate button, and they can go there and they can make a one-time gift or set up themselves for a recurring for 2019. You know, look at what God has in store for you and see how you may be able to partner with us to expand the kingdom.
That's iworkforhim.com. iworkthenumber4him.com. And just thanks for tuning in all over Jacksonville, all over the First Coast, all over Tampa Bay, from Ocala to Fort Myers and all the way over to Disney. So how do we develop habits of generosity? You know, if we haven't seen it demonstrated while growing up, who do we watch as we grow older in order to learn it? Is a generous spirit and a lifestyle of generosity characteristic of a Christ follower? Are all Christ followers supposed to be generous? Here to parse through all of this with us today is Tony Dale, founder of the Caris Group and Sedera Health here in Austin, Texas, as we broadcast from his world headquarters for today's show. Tony Dale, we want to thank you so much for your support of I Work for Him in 2018, and thank you so much for your friendship and being willing to be on I Work for Him today, this Christmas week.
It's a pleasure. I view it as an honor to be enjoying these interviews with you month by month and to watch what the Lord is doing through I Work for Him.
It's been a lot of fun, a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Jim, a lot of fun?
Yes, it's been great because your stories, Tony, you always come up with some incredible story of how the Lord is working. So why don't you talk about how you've seen the Lord work in your work life recently. As you end 2018, what's one of the most significant things you've seen God do here in your work life here at Sedera Health and the Caris Group?
Well, 2018 has actually been an incredible year for us in both companies, just watching God at work. I entered the year knowing that we had major changes that were happening at the Caris Group. That's the first of our companies. I've been around for, I guess at this point, approaching 24 years. And we find ourselves incredibly excited at what God's doing. Now, the most major of those changes was I knew we were going to need a new CEO, that Mike Martin, our CEO of the last 8 years, was planning to retire. And we entered the year having had a detailed process of finding the right person, which had fallen flat on its face. We just had not found someone.
You know, what's amazing is that when we often think that we've got it figured out, it is one of those things that we just have to submit to the Lord, like, okay, Lord, we think we got it figured out. This is the process we're going to go through, but what does that look like? So if it fell flat on its face, I think we actually mentioned on a show earlier this fall that you had three amazing candidates, and then you were trying to figure out how did this all end up playing out?
Well, excuse me, coughing there. God is so faithful. We did. We had three amazing candidates, any one of the three of which would have been well suited and qualified. But somehow you just know, you know, whether or not you found the right person yet. Mm-hmm. And there we were within, I would say, weeks of making a decision when God brought an unexpected, I don't know what the right word is.
Answer to prayer.
Yes, answer to prayer. That's probably better than anything I was coming up with. My son, who happens to work with John Eldridge over at Ransomed Heart, was here in Austin for an event. And while there, he enjoyed a delightful sort of evening and meal where he was sitting next to a young executive from here in Austin.
Just happened to be sitting next to this young executive here in Austin.
Just happened. Don't you love the way a God incident as opposed to a coincidence works?
Amen.
And he contacted me afterwards and he said, Dad, you've got to meet this young man. Fascinating what he's up to. And he is, you know, he's leading his own company. It's part of a startup. And so I'm sure he's not looking for anything, but maybe he would be open. Well, maybe turned out to be God's will. I reached out to him. We had lunch together. Everything clicked extraordinarily rapidly. And in the most amazing way, he's been able to switch his focus from something that he had been doing for the last 4 years very quickly to be free to take over and actually formally begins as our CEO on January the 1st, although he's been working here with us in a transition phase with our old CEO.
But it was true. I mean, he wasn't looking for work, but he had been praying to the Lord specifically. He was seeking the Lord for direction. And he didn't know what the direction was, yet when he met you, he understood.
God's timing is extraordinary. You know, sometimes as, you know, different parties are coming together in God's economy, he's already prepared their hearts in a variety of ways. And I would say that was exactly what happened here. When I met with Zach, I knew very quickly, here is a man not only after God's own heart in the way it describes David, but who I could see also shared our heart and vision for what the Charis Group was to become.
You know, and one of the things that I think is so neat is when we look back at maybe even jobs we've had, experiences we've had, and how God lined up all of those experiences for such a time as now. And you really saw that in his experience and just the way that he's equipped for this next phase of the opportunity that the next year and the years to come will bring.
Martha, that's absolutely the case. I mean, when I looked at his resume, saw his experience and his background, but more importantly, his journey of faith. I just said, thank you, Lord. Yeah. This is exactly what we've been praying towards for the last 3 years.
Excellent.
But God didn't give you that answer 3 years early, didn't give you the answer 2 years early, didn't give the answer 1 year early, didn't give it to you 5 months early, 4 months early. He gave it to you right. I mean, you had a deadline.
On time.
Yeah, isn't that annoying?
It is annoying. I mean, really, he didn't give it to you way ahead of time. I mean, you literally were at the wire.
You know, I have no idea, excuse me, why the Lord works in that fashion, but so often that is the case. And I think one of the things it does is it forces us into a dependence on him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it would have been easy to take one of the people that I had been looking for because they were good people. But that wasn't what God had in store. And I had to learn to be patient and really to listen to the Holy Spirit and not to rush the process. And now as we look at what God's provided, you know, you look back and you say, oh my goodness, you know, yes, those others would have been good, but God's provided something that we just believe to be absolutely great. Mm.
It's humbling to know that God cares about those intimate details of our businesses if we will seek him for those answers. And that's really what you've gone through. You were seeking the Lord for 3 years, and a lot of people would have given up a long time ahead of time. How was Mike Martin as you were getting close to those dates? I mean, was he thinking, I don't want to have to work into January? I mean, what were you guys doing as you guys were praying together? How were those conversations as you were waiting for the Lord to deliver?
Well, you know, at some stage, I hope you get a chance to interview Mike and to talk through from his perspective the whole idea of transition. Because obviously, when you've been leading something, as he has for 8 years, and done a fantastic job, there's a part of you that doesn't want to let go.
Oh, absolutely.
He was also very aware that the timing was right. And I think we were watching and saying, well, Lord, we're so down to the wire. How do we get an effective transition? How do we have the team prepared? How do we make sure that there's a smooth handover? Little could we have imagined that when you just get the right person, it all works ideally. Mm. And from my perspective, it's been an absolute delight watching Mike Martin not only prepare himself for changes in his life, but prepare the path for the person who is going to take his place here.
When we ran into Mike in Lubbock, Texas back in October, he promised us that after everything was transitioned, he promised us that he'd come on the air and share a little of that story. So we got that to
look
forward to
in 2019.
Holding
you to it, Mike, in 2019.
That's right. All right, we're back. When we come back, lots more from Tony Dale from Austin, Texas, as we talk about generosity. But before we get to the generosity conversation, as we end 2018, we're going to ask him, how about some of those British Christian traditions that he grew up with, and what does that look like today? You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We'll be right back. Jesus is the answer for the world today, yet the world you and I live in doesn't know that. Your workplace is a vital mission field because it's full of people who need Jesus. Join the I Work For Him Nation today and start living with gospel mission intentionality in your workplace. Go out to iWorkForHim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag. Be the difference in your workplace. iWorkForHim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag.
Here's Rick Box, founder of Unconventional Business Network, with today's Integrity Moment.
Christian cognitive neuroscientist Dr. Caroline Leaf, in her book Switch On Your Brain, says, how we think not only affects our own spirit, soul, and body, but also people around us. The thoughts we dwell on impact every area of our lives. They are indicators of our future success. Our thoughts frame our success even in relationships. If we dwell on failures, they are likely to continue. If we think negative thoughts, our words and impact will be negative. Proverbs 23:7 tells us, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." This verse reminds us of the connection between our thoughts, our hearts, and our actions. Thoughts set the course for the action that follows. What thoughts are you dwelling on that negatively impact work and life success?
To learn more about Unconventional Business Network and doing business God's way, visit unconventionalbusiness.org. That's unconventionalbusiness.org.
Condo fees always increasing? Think Utility Services can help your community stabilize the annual budget and dramatically lower costs. By installing individual unit water meters and only charging residents for the water they consume, your community can decrease water consumption by 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been helping condo communities save on utility costs for over 20 years. Call 888-MY-METER today. Learn more at thinkutilityservices.com. That's thinkutilityservices.com.
We're back here in Austin, Texas. I Work For Him, broadcasting from the world headquarters of the Sedera Health and the Caris Group. We're so grateful to be here with Tony Dale, one of our show sponsors, just a great partner here with I Work For Him. And Tony, I wanted to ask about some Christmas traditions. As you grew up in England, because a lot of us don't really know how things are the same or how things are different. Growing up as a little kid, were you in London? Were you outside of London? Where were you?
Actually, most of my growing up was done in Taiwan, where my parents were medical missionaries.
So that makes it even a better question. So as a medical missionary in Taiwan, what was Christmas like there?
Well, my parents did everything I'm sure possible to make it as English as they could, because obviously we were in a completely different culture, and they wanted us to enjoy both the Chinese culture that we were there to serve, but also to remember our own heritage. And Christmas was always very important to us. I think of all sorts of stories, but, you know, one of the ones I remember most clearly of my sort of young growing up experience on the mission field of Christmas was a Christmas where on Christmas Eve, we still did not have a turkey for eating the next day. My mom and dad were talking about it because it wasn't, they couldn't afford a turkey or something, but every year, a patient had provided one because, you know, my dad was family doctor to all sorts of people. So he had never gone out to get one because always, you know, the Lord had provided through one of the patients. Now it's Christmas morning. And we still don't have a turkey. So we're making last minute family plans and thinking, oh, well, we can probably get into, one of the American military clubs and just enjoy whatever they prepared for Christmas lunch. But it's about 10 o'clock as we're making these plans and there's a knock at the door and a patient arrives with a cooked turkey.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything prepared and ready. And, wow. You know, the very fact that it comes to mind, even as we're talking here, is just one of those many examples of how I watched in a family that really did depend on God and how I saw God provide everything that we needed.
That's fun. That's a fun story.
It is. And, you know, I just think about, you know, we like to have, especially when we're thinking about Christmas, you think everything in order and all the plans made and all the grocery bought. But what a beautiful example of just trusting and waiting on the Lord, and what a beautiful thing he provided. So as you reflect on Christmas and think about, are there other things that you have seen now that you've been in America for years that you did differently in your
raising up all your kids here?
Yeah.
Well, there are things that I would probably describe as different. Mm-hmm. And part of it is a function of growing up on the mission field. So we didn't have family around. It was just mom and dad and us three boys. But our household was the sort that was always open to anybody and everybody. So right from the start, I watched my parents practice hospitality, as it's described in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Our home was always overflowing with people who were staying, missionaries who were passing through. I mean, I had the privilege of sort of meeting people like Corrie ten Boom and Brother Andrew and folk like this that, were childhood heroes. Mm-hmm. I think Christmas for us was, you know, more of a celebration that just as God gave his son, he also had given to us in every possible way. My dad's medical clinic was different because, you know, back in the 1950s, Taiwan was just emerging from being a sort of a third world country and trying to feel its way into becoming a first world country. And there was a lot of change, a lot of rapid growth. He was one of the few foreign physicians in Taipei, the capital city. So he had a very mixed clientele. Nearly all the ambassadors and their staff were his patients. Hmm. Nearly all of the missionary community were his patients. Most of the American business or diplomatic corps were his patients, as were enormous numbers of Chinese living in Taipei who were at the very poor end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. He used to describe his practice as a Robin Hood practice, that he would rob from the rich to take care of the poor. And I would watch how this worked out and the love and attention that he really poured on everybody. Mm-hmm. So for me, I had an incredible example in mom and dad of what it really meant to live out your faith. And so Christmas was a fun, you know, enjoyed the presents, enjoyed looking forward to things, enjoyed the Christmas crackers, which I don't think are really an American tradition.
No, they're not.
You know, the little thing that you pull and it pops and pulls, you know, out.
Our neighbors, we did that once with our English neighbors.
So we still occasionally do that when our kids come over for Christmas. We like, you know, remembering the British side of things. But those things, they're the trapping. They're the tinsel. Mm-hmm. The real meaning of Christmas for us was just incredibly and indelibly imprinted in us by watching the way our parents gave all the time to those around them.
You know, Jim, just a couple days after Christmas, it was when we are all tired and we're thinking, why did we do all the things we did during this holiday season? And let's just kind of take that and remember it for the next year and just say, you know, let's focus on...
We could only hold our attention that long.
Well, you put it on your calendar. Put it in October 1st or something like that for next year to say, remember this year, I want to focus on the hospitality and the celebrating the people around us as opposed to all the trappings, you know. And the trappings are fun and they're beautiful and they're sparkly and all of that. But, you know, we get to a certain point in the year and we then say, why am I burning myself out? And I'm always so encouraged when I hear as a child, the things you remember are the people. Not all the crazy details of life, but the miracles that God did and the people that gathered around. So if we can take that into next year, we'd be great.
You know, Tony, one of the questions I was going to ask you is, why did you want to talk about generosity? But you just gave the answer. Your parents lived generosity before you kids. I mean, they were demonstrating it all the time.
Oh, they absolutely did, Jim. Mm. And
were they Jesus followers, your folks?
Well, as missionaries, I hope so.
Well, I didn't know what kind of missionary. Okay. You
know, yes.
Yes, you would hope
we
so.
We wouldn't want to take those assumptions, but good one.
They were not only Jesus followers. They were passionate. They came from a very well-known church in London called Honor Oak. It was the church that Watchman Nee was affiliated with when he spent time in England. So it was a church that really was a part of the British Deeper Life movement or the Keswick movement, for those who happen to know the British background. And so absolutely, they were the sort of people who lived this. I mean, they consciously looked out for who might be on their own over Christmas. Were there single missionaries who, you know, were likely to be missing everybody from home? Was there a business person who was over here who, through no fault of their own, if that's the right word, you know, was going to find themselves on their own? And they were constantly looking at how do you give the ordinary? Now, of course, they went way beyond that. I also watched what they did with the limited finances that they had. And I could not have had a better experience a better example of hospitality and of generosity than just watching the way that my mom and dad thought. All the time they were finding new ways to give. And the fascinating thing was I watched that the more they gave, the more God provided.
And he promises that. But he also says, hey, if we're going to hoard it all for ourselves, then, you know, the pipe's going to get all clogged up and you're not going to get as much. When you look at this life of generosity that you saw demonstrated in your folks as medical professionals, I mean, they were not just generous with their money, but they're generous with their time. They're generous with their houses you've described, but also generous with their medical practice. So that's what inspired you then to say, I want to be a doctor too. Is that where that all came from?
Yeah, I guess I wasn't one of those who, you know, planned on being a jet pilot or, you know, a famous politician or whatever it might. Now, I did think about trying to be a soccer professional, but I don't think I was very serious. Yeah. I think of, you know, times where I would go out with my dad on house calls and just watch the way he worked with patients. And I don't think I ever really wanted to be anything else other than a doctor. I just saw the way he helped people. I saw the enormous respect and love that people had for him. And for me, it seemed very natural. I don't know why. Maybe that was something God put in my heart. I just never seriously considered anything outside of medicine.
You got to love it when your father and mother lay out a legacy and you didn't run away from it. You're like, no, I want to be just like my dad. And that's really the life you've led. Now, God put some twists and turns in there. We'll talk about those because you're not a doctor here in the U.S. yet. You're still a doctor, but you're not a practicing doctor yet. You're transforming healthcare for the entire country. And we'll talk about that when we come back. And we're going to talk lots more about generosity as we talk with Tony Dale today from his world headquarters here in Austin, Texas. That's for Sedera Health, Sedera.com, Sedera.com, and the Caris Group. We'll be right back with lots more on I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Jim and I invite you to join us as an I Work For Him partner. We can change our country through our workplaces, and you can help. Christ followers outside of Tampa Bay and the First Coast desperately need to know that their work matters to God. Help us take the message of I Work For Him nationwide. Be one of 367 partners to commit to $100 a month for 3 years. Only 2% of Christ followers in America know and understand their work is a gift from God. Be a gift to the other 98%. Go to iworkforhim.com and click on the Donate Now button and set up your recurring gift, and be one of 367.
Confusing context? This is Ken Ham, hoping you'll visit our life-size Noah's Ark south of Cincinnati. Many Christians claim we can't know if the days in Genesis were literal 24-hour days or if they were long periods of time. But they don't say this because the context is not clear. Throughout the Old Testament, when days used with a number or with the words evening, morning, or night, it always means an ordinary day. Now, Genesis 1 contains all of those. And Exodus emphasizes, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth." Scripture's clear. Creation happened over 6 24-hour days. Christians only doubt this because they want to accept man's ideas about the past. But we should trust God's word, not man's word.
There's only a few more days to enjoy Christmas time at the Ark Encounter. Plan your visit to see the spectacular lights and special events on our website at AnswersRadio.com.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Yet the world you and I live in doesn't know that. Your workplace is a vital mission field because it's full of people who need Jesus. Join the I Work For Him Nation today and start living with gospel mission intentionality in your workplace. Go out to iworkforhim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag. Be the difference in your workplace. iworkforhim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. U.S. stocks staged a furious late-afternoon rally Thursday, closing with gains after erasing a 600-point drop in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The Dow closed up 260 points, or 1.1%, adding to Wednesday's record gain of 1,086 points. The S&P 500 added 21 points to 2488. Stocks slumped for most of the day as the selling that had gripped the market for most of December resumed. House lawmakers don't plan to vote this week to end the government shutdown. That's according to the office of Republican Whip Steve Scalise, who announced the schedule Thursday. Scalise's office said lawmakers are waiting on the Senate, but the Senate already approved a bill to keep the government running. The House panned that measure and approved a new version that included money for the border wall. That stalemate continues now. More details at srnnews.com.
Anytime is a great time to give flowers to the ones you love. At Kuhn Flowers, we know that all too well. That's why we offer the longest-lasting, most beautiful floral arrangements in Jacksonville. Kuhn Flowers has the perfect flower arrangements for birthdays, holidays, good days, and even bad days. Show that special someone just how much you care with a gift of flowers from Kuhn Flowers. Call us today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Weekdays at noon on 100.3 The Biz.
This half hour of the I Work For Him show is brought to you by Sidera Health, reinventing healthcare, a high-end, affordable healthcare solution with no insurance hassles. Online at Sidera.com. That's Sidera.com.
Welcome back to I Work For Him as we talk with Tony Dale today from his world headquarters here in Austin, Texas, about generosity. And you've gotten, if you're just tuning in right now, you've missed a little bit of the story. I encourage you to go back and listen to the archive or the podcast, because Tony just shared from his heart about where did this generosity idea come from for his life? Where did the idea of being a medical professional come from? Where did the idea, and what did it look like when he celebrated Christmas on the mission field in Taiwan as a child with his parents as medical missionaries? Tony Dale, you know, let me just ask some basic questions. You have a generous heart. And the Lord, I want to talk about Cidera just for a minute, because we're heading into a new year, and it's too late for somebody to switch their healthcare plan for 2019, but they could do it mid, you know, at the end of the first quarter or something like that. Cidera is really all set up because it's about generosity. It's about sharing. It's about a whole bunch of people coming together as companies and sharing healthcare costs and helping reduce healthcare costs. And you said to sometimes the healthcare sharing costs, when people do that instead of buying health insurance, the savings can be monstrous. Talk about Cidera just really quick. I know you hate this because I always put you on the spot and you're like, Jim, come on. I just want to talk about the Lord. Great. I want to talk about Cidera Health because it's the most unusual model in America for corporations, and it's transformative because it's got truth at the center of it. It's got the Lord at the center of it. And because you always said that all truth comes from God. Talk about Cidera. What is this all about?
Okay, well, first of all, let me dispel a misconception that you communicated there.
That's the third time I've blown something today already.
the interesting thing there is most people think the only time you can switch from one plan to another is at open enrollment or something like that. No, insurance doesn't work that way. Insurance is a two-way contract, but the insurance company contracts with you promising that they won't let you go before the end of the contract. But your contract with them does not bind you to them for any set period of time. What binds you is you paying your premium. So you can switch from what you were doing to something new anytime you want just by stopping paying your premium.
See, he really just set that up to make sure you would really explain it. No, I'm just kidding.
I just want to make sure you had a clear
understanding. That's very good to know, though, because that doesn't mean, okay, I got to wait a whole another 12 months. It's like, no, I can check out and see what's really going to be good for us.
I think that's really important. And it actually comes to the thing you alluded to that, we do find that people, generally speaking, are saving in the 40, 50, maybe as sometimes as much as 55 or 60% on their health cost and dramatically cutting their out-of-pocket expenses. So it's definitely worth looking at. But maybe we go back to the core, to where the concept of Cidera came from. I'm guessing most of your listeners are familiar with the Christian healthcare sharing ministries.
Yeah, like MediShare or Samaritan Ministries.
Absolutely. And we love those people. And in our first company, the Caris Group, over the last 20, 25 years, we've actually been negotiating hundreds of millions of dollars of medical bills a year on behalf of those ministries and helping keep everybody's costs down. But those ministries are only available to believers, to those who can sign the statement of faith. And even the way the Affordable Care Act exempted those people from the penalty of, what was in the Affordable Care Act, it did it in such a way that it limited the formation of new groups and it limited the existing groups to only working with people who signed their faith statements. And so I said to myself, well, Lord, there has to be a way that we can take such a good approach and make it available to all people. I mean, the Word of God teaches us to do good to all men, but especially to the household of God. And so we want to make sure that where we have really excellent working models of how to reduce medical costs, in a country that desperately needs answers for that.
Oh, that's for sure.
That we find a way to make it available to everybody. And that's exactly what Cidera is. I mean, I won't bore people with the technicalities and the research and development that went into making it possible.
We're just very thankful that you did it all.
Well, and you have to give the credit and the glory to God. You know, sometimes I say to people, if you look at what we're doing, it's clearly not rocket science. It's actually very straightforward. But it's only very straightforward once the Holy Spirit has, as it were, opened up, the eyes of your heart to see how it can work. And so the basic principle, is one of generosity. You know, in the early Acts, it says that there were no needs among those Christians because whenever they had needs, they shared. Okay, let's update that 2,000 years, and let's think of the sharing economy. And let's recognize that sharing is not just a Christian tradition. Whether you're talking about Uber or Lyft or Airbnb, you're talking about people who are sharing something they have, a resource, and in it, they're providing a service to others. Okay, that's really the principle that's enumerated there in the early part of Acts. But the Christians, as people of goodwill, were doing it out of an extraordinary abundance, really an overabundance of generosity in very difficult situations. Healthcare, to me, is a bit like that, that we have a desperate need. We have a system that is in the process of bankrupting the country. We have a model, the insurance model, which I think began with really good intention. And if you look at the history of how health insurance grew up, it's really very different from property and casualty, where they were insuring against an unexpected event. You know, we insure the roof of our house in case we get hit by a hurricane, but we don't mind at all if we pay premium for 20 years and never have a claim. In fact, we feel that we've really done well. Health insurance is completely the opposite. People are spending money on insurance for something they know where they're going to have claims, and they feel like they've been hard done by if they don't get their, quote, money's worth. And health insurance has completely upended the whole concept of insurance because it's not dealing with unexpected events. What it's dealing with is a very expensive way of prepaying for fully expected and anticipated events, except in the occasional catastrophic situation. And one of the things that we and many others are doing is trying to help people to understand that the principles involved are going back to personal responsibility for the small stuff, and then using the principle of the law of large numbers, which is lots of people engaging together, sharing together to take care of the unexpected thing, and doing that on a voluntary basis. Insurance is a contract. You're bound by law. And basically the feeling here in the States is, and that's in case the insurance companies, you know, those bad boys don't pay, then I've got someone I can try and sue or chase. Well, that's one way of doing things, but it's extremely expensive. The contrast to that is saying, I trust you and I love you. And I'm joining in a voluntary association, and we're going to make personal choices that lead to health. We're going to be in a community of people who actually care about each other and are not only going to share the cost, but are going to share the responsibilities of choosing to live healthy. And we're going to see where that goes. And where it goes is it's been a powerfully effective way of handling medical costs for people.
And you now have, how many companies are participating in Sedera? Do you have any idea now?
Oh, I'm probably trying to, you know, have classified information wormed out of me.
No. That's classified. If it's classified, no.
No, it's not classified.
Oh, you're being funny.
We
you tell me I make a mistake and I misinform people. Now you, okay, go ahead.
Well, let's put it this way. We're dealing with thousands and thousands of lives.
Yeah.
Of companies, I think now in something like 40 plus states. And it's just been unbelievable watching how God is allowing this to explode over the landscape, because this nation is ready for completely new approaches to how to handle
fresh
health costs.
Ideas.
That's
no
right.
Question about it. I just love the generosity behind all this. So let's take that. Go ahead, Martha.
Well, I just wanted to remind our listeners that if this is intriguing to them and they either themselves have some decision-making power or they can get connected to the person that does want to learn more about it, they can find out more at Sedera.com, Sedera.com. And although we know now that we don't need to panic about the new year and making a decision, every month that you can make a savings and make a good decision for your company is a good time to do it.
Well, and if you could save that money, Tony Dale, 50, you know, let's say 40-50% on healthcare premiums, think of how much more generosity can be planted towards being a caring for your own employees better, caring for your customers. I mean, that creates, loosens up a lot of wealth when you start looking at that. So let's talk to me about generosity. How did, you know, you watched your mom and dad demonstrate generosity.
Right.
What if somebody doesn't have a mom or dad that they saw be generous? How do people learn to be generous?
Well, that's a great question. And obviously, for those of us who are Christians, you know, the Holy Spirit is working on our hearts. But I don't think generosity is just something that only Christians practice.
Well, we know that's the case.
I've lived in various cultures, and I've watched generosity as a part of the human condition. Really, it's an expression of compassion. And so, yes, we learn from watching each other. But if you've never had an example, there's nothing to stop you practicing on yourself. You know, Jesus tells the story of all the people walking into the temple, and he says, and, you know, here were the wealthy religious leaders and others, and they were making a show of how much money they gave. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, dare I say, it's kind of like having your name on it. Oh, and, you know, in the building campaign, we thanked all these
you
people.
You got a brick.
Get the brick. Get the plaque.
And you know, people play on this wanting to get credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jesus says, no, it's very, very different from that. And he picks out and he says, now, look at that lady over there. And he says, you know, she's shuffling in. It's obvious she's poverty stricken. And oh, look, she's putting some. Can you say, oh, it's that little brown coin. That's probably just a penny.
Mm.
But I can see in her heart, that's everything she has. That's everything she has. And, you know, for the Christian believer, I think we have to understand that generosity, and this is going to sound odd, doesn't really represent that somehow I'm being generous. It represents that we recognize God gave us everything.
Mm.
It's all His. All we're doing is responding to what's already been given to us. And, you know, Jesus says, you know, that what's required of a steward is that they be found trustworthy. If the Lord has entrusted us with financial wealth, it's not ours. It's still His. And so what's required of us is that we be found trustworthy. This is just an expression in response to God's love.
And there's some really big secrets about generosity that we're going to share with you when we come back as we talk with Tony Dale from Austin, Texas, Sedera.com, S-E-D-E-R-A.com. If you want to blow your mind and look at a different solution for healthcare for your company, Sedera.com. We'll be right back.
Most condo communities include water as part of the monthly fee. Some residents conserve to subsidize those that consume. Stop paying for your neighbor's water. Have Think Utility Services install individual meters and pay only for what you use. Decrease water consumption by 20 to 40%. For over 20 years, Think Utility Services has been helping condo communities save. Call 888-MY-METER today. That's 888-MY-METER today. Go to thinkutilityservices.com.
Reconnect One with Carmen LaBurge.
Billy is in his 60s, and every day he cleans the deli and makes the soup at my local grocery store. I thanked Billy one day for making my lunch, and he nearly wept. No one ever says thank you, he confessed. No one? I asked in disbelief. I've been here 5 years. You're the first one, he said. I was cut to the heart. I now make it a point to thank Billy and to thank Sue, who makes the rotisserie chicken at my Sam's, and the tattooed, shorn-haired, fairly angry, androgynous individual who puts the peanut butter on my double-toasted raisin bagel. It makes no difference that any of these people know who I am. What matters is that I know who they are. I see them, I speak to them, and thank them for their act of service. Saying thank you costs me nothing, but it has eternal value. So give thanks today in all circumstances and literally for everyone you meet.
Reconnect today's headlines with God's perspective. Visit reconnectwithcarmen.com. Reconnectwithcarmen.com.
Jim and I ask you to join us in our radio mission of encouraging Christ followers to live out their faith in their work. Consider making a generous donation to I Work For Him as part of your year-end giving. This will act as a down payment for Kingdom Work for 2019. Our desire is to expand I Work For Him all across our wonderful nation. We need your partnership. Please join Jim and I to spread the message of I Work For Him. Go out to iworkforhim.com and click on the Donate tab. That's iworkforhim.com. Click on the Donate tab.
Welcome back to I Work For Him, and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as we talk with Tony Dale right here from Sedera Health in Austin, Texas. And we're talking about generosity today because it should define, as Christ followers, it should define our very spirits. Yet a lot of us have had to, we don't know much about generosity. We think that giving is generosity or tithing is generosity, but Tony Dale, it's so much more. But when somebody, I mentioned before the break that there's a secret to generosity, and it's like a secret benefit to generosity, because generous people, they look and feel different than people who hog it all for themselves. Hmm. Talk about that secret of generosity. It's a biblical, it's not really a secret. It's all written throughout the scriptures. I mean, I printed out Bible verses and Bible verses and Bible verses. In fact, let me just read a couple of them. So, given will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Proverbs 11:24-25 says, one who gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. You know, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord and will repay him for his deed. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I found hundreds of verses on generosity. What's the secret to a generous person? Well, I mean, because there's like the secret hidden benefit to being generous. And that's a twist on it, but there's a secret benefit.
Well, there's a huge benefit. I mean, anyone who has enjoyed the privilege of being able to give knows that there's far more blessing. Just as Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, and it really is. There's an incredible payback, but that isn't why you give. Mm-hmm. The first of those verses you read, give and it will be given to you. I think that's been twisted in some Christian circles into...
You yes. think so?
Yeah. Well, I guess I do. And obviously you agree with me. We're not manipulating God. What we're doing is we're responding to the nature of God. He's not saying you do it for the consequence. He's describing a spiritual principle that we reap what we sow. Mm-hmm. And so, built into, if you like, the law of the universe, the way God made it, is that when we give, we do receive. We receive in all sorts of ways that go way beyond any money payback. And in fact, I think even an expectation that God has to, if you give money, he has to give you money back, would be such a narrow understanding of God, because his love for us goes way beyond trying to take care of just our physical needs.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think of anybody who has ever worked with any teenagers in any fashion, say you do this time of year, a lot of people go and they serve at a food bank or, do something to give to others. And often the case will be some kids that kind of drag themselves in and they know they have to do this because it's been organized for them to do it. And by, there's a tipping point where all of a sudden it becomes joyful and they find this pleasure that they never expected to find by serving in an environment that they didn't want to be in. And that's, just one example of what generosity can look like of when you give in that way, you get back something you didn't expect. And it could be a joy. It could be a fulfillment of knowing that you've helped humanity or you've helped someone show them some love. But sometimes when we get outside of ourselves and just give, the way that transformation that can happen is just amazing.
Jesus said, Tony Dale, that he came to set us free. Mm. And to me, that's what generosity does. When you meet somebody of great wealth who's a generous person, they're free. Their money doesn't have a hold on them. Their stuff doesn't have a hold on them. Their garage of cars doesn't have a hold on them. When they're actually, most of the time, they don't have a garage full of cars. They've got a freedom that Jesus promised us, but that freedom comes. And this is, to me, the secret to generosity. They get a freedom because they're generous, because their stuff doesn't have a hold on them anymore.
I think what you're saying is actually incredibly important. There's another verse in Proverbs where the writer says, don't let me be so poor that I go out and steal, or so rich that I try and live my life without remembering you, God. Mm. I think you will often find when you work with people who are being generous that they've learned it's not how much I have, It's how I can use what I have to fulfill the call of God on my life. And I know we're, you know, in our last segment and likely to run out of time. I'd like to suggest that for those who are serious about giving, there are some really powerful resources. People should be, you know, especially those like myself who have been blessed with much through God's provision. They should know about groups like National Christian Foundation.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They should know about groups like Waterstone. You know, if you go to waterstone.org, you can learn about various methodologies of giving. Mm-hmm. And giving can be handled in very sophisticated ways. And so if, you know, there are Christian CEOs listening to this, I encourage you, don't just think that by, you know, giving 10% to your church, you've done your responsibility. No, you are a steward of what God entrusts to you. And you need to be as mature in your giving and as diligent in it as you were in creating that wealth in the first place.
And the beauty of it is when you realize that you're a steward and not an owner, and you realize that sometimes God will ask you to just give some of it away, much of it away, sometimes even all of it away, as in the widow who gave that one small little widow's mite, but the freedom that comes with it, that none of that has the control, that it doesn't define who you are. You know, your car doesn't define you, your wealth doesn't define it. You're defined by your relationship with Christ. That's what generosity does.
And the incredible freedom comes when you give it all away. I don't know what, I sort of feel free to share, but if I give one tiny little story. We had started a Christian school back in London. We lived and worked in a very poor area of London. And, you know, God was blessing, good things were happening, but inadvertently, we hadn't realized that what we were charging and money that was being given and whatever, we were running into the hole and running into the hole big ways. Mm-hmm.
In the U.S., we would call that going to the red.
We were going into the red, very much into the red. And we were in a church where hardly anybody had any money. I mean, even though I was only working part-time as a doctor, I had far more than most. And Felicity and I began praying about this. And we wondered, we just wondered, Lord, are you asking us to sell our house and to give the money, you know, to clear this debt? And, you know, it's a big thing and, you know, housing's difficult in London as it could be anywhere else. We go to church that Sunday, and we had been involved in asking one of the recent young converts to share something on this Sunday. So he had prepared something and he was all worried about what he was going to be sharing and whatever. And we said, oh, it's all going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And so he stands up and he begins to share about faith. And as he's sharing, he says, and oh, it would be kind of like if the Lord asked Tony and Felicity to sell their house and give the money away. And we're thinking, what? And he carries on talking about what he's saying. And then he says it again. And he says, oh, it'd be kind of like, you know, if the Lord asked Tony and Felicity to sell their house and give the money away. And we thought, well, Lord, you can't confirm it any clearer than that. I mean, here's this young believer, you know, where did he come up with an example like that? And it's exactly what you're challenging us to do.
Wow.
Now, you know, I'm so glad we had that experience because that has really helped shape us for this probably 40 years since that incident. Mm-hmm. To know that, I mean, if I just gave you the economics of that one transaction that maybe cost us, I don't know, £40,000, which the Lord had given back to us in spades in the way he took us into a rental house, but it was property owned by the Queen's estate. They changed the rules and the Queen offered all of her tenants, which at that point included us, the ability to buy their house way below market value. God gave it all back to us within a year.
Wow.
Now, whether he had done that or not, I mean, the lessons learned in obedience are so powerful. And that's what I want to encourage your listeners. You know, generosity is not something grudging. God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
And it's so powerful. So give.
Amen.
And as we end the year, consider that gift. If you, the Lord's laid a passion on your heart for a local ministry or a local nonprofit, somebody that is touching your life, you know, don't just write a check for just a little check. Be generous. Sell something. Give it away, but be generous because it will transform your heart when you let go. Tony Dale, thanks for hosting us here in Austin, Texas. Thanks for sharing some of your story. Thanks again for being a gracious supporter of I Work For Him in 2018. And we are so grateful. Thank you, Tony Dale. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Make sure you check out Tony online with his company, Sidera.com. Sidera.com. You want to transform your healthcare in your company? Check it out online, Sidera.com. You've been listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for him.
FM 100.3, W262 AG Jacksonville, AM 1600 WZNZ, Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville.
Woody Folsom Automotive's given away by drawing a new 18 Chevy Crew Cab Silverado. Licensed drivers 18 or older, get in here and register. Register. No purchase required.
Yeah.
If licensed at associates, not eligible.
Up to $14,000 off of MSRP on Chevys and select GMCs. Hey, somebody's going to get one free. Free lifetime powertrain warranty, too.
Yeah, you got me falling in love, my little Chevrolet DJ.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell inviting you to come to our meet and greet live at Woody Folsom Automotive in Baxley. I'll be signing autographs at the dealership at 1 o'clock on Saturday, December 29th. Register to win that Chevy Silverado Woody's giving away. Look forward to seeing you.
Find new roads. Look online at woodyfolsom.com for directions to the all-out year-end blowout. Register for that new Silverado pickup to be given away at 5 p.m. on New Year's Eve. Woody Folsom Automotive. Want a better deal? Better get to Baxley's. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Chevrolet DJ.
SNC Square Roofing. Everything you should expect from a roofing contractor and more. Hey, it's John Vitas, the voiceover guy. SNC Square Roofing replaced my roof, and I'm here to tell you, my wife and I were amazed at their quality of work and how well they kept the job site so clean. SNC Square Roofing, from the estimate to the last shingle, you can count on a job well done. SNC Square is a certified, CertainTeed shingle master applicator. Give my roofer a call today. SNC Square LLC, roofing with integrity. Call 524-8621. That's 524-8621.